In this past summer training, we talked about the central the title, the central burden and the present truth of the Lord's recovery before his appearing. This is in the Lord's Recovery, Brother Lee, in 1993 to 1997. Among the Lord's Recovery released the high peak of the divine revelation. This is not just the central burden of the entire Lord's recovery. It is also the present truth. The present truth allows us to be prepared and is also for the preparation of the bride to bring the Lord back. This perfecting training coming after the summer training is full of meaning. The burden of this training is for all of these high peak revelations in the Lord's recovery through this perfecting training to bring us into the divine and mystical realm, so that we would have an application and experience of these truths. In 1996, the summer training, after the summer training, there were some brothers who visited Brother Lee and had fellowship with Brother Lee. During that fellowship, Brother Lee started by saying that within these 3 to 4 years, from 93, the Lord had changed the direction of his move among the his recovery, because and so Brother Lee shared that you need to enter into this new age. No matter what you do, you need to enter into the new age. We need to enter into this new age, because the Lord is going to use these high peak truths to end this age, to bring in the Lord's return. These high peak truths are for preparing the bride. So when we enter into the high peak of the divine revelation, we need to ask the Lord to have mercy on us. We need to empty our whole being, not only to enter into these divine revelations, the intrinsic meaning of the divine revelation. We need to ask the Lord to allow us to have an application, a practical experience of these truths. In Revelation 11, in Revelation 1:11, the Lord says to hold on to what you have so that your crown will not be taken away from you. Oh, to the church in Philadelphia. Here, the Lord speaking is to bring the saints into the sensation of his appearing. On one hand, the church in Philadelphia had already received the crown, but they also had to hold on to this crown so that it would not be taken away. We also need to ask the Lord to preserve us and to have mercy on us, to save us from the situation of the church in Laodicea. In Revelation 3:17, the church in Laodicea says, because you say, I am wealthy and have become rich and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They say that they are wealthy because they have the doctrine and they feel satisfied, but they don't know their actual condition is wretched. they are poor. They don't realize that they are poor in their experience and enjoyment of the all-inclusive Christ with his abundant riches. So here, the Lord tells the saints, the church in Laodicea, to buy. To buy means to pay a price. May the Lord gain us in the training to be those who buy. We need to pay the price. We can't be neither hot nor cold. We must be those who pursue, who seek after Christ. And today, in the Lord's recovery today, we need to ask the Lord for a new revival. This new revival is to allow us to have a living, a God-man living, according to the high peak of the divine revelation. On page 62 of our handout, here, brotherly fellowships with us. From when I first entered into the Lord's recovery, I've been looking at the situation from the time of Brother Ni until today. These 72 years, our practice has never reached the level of the revelation that we have received from the Lord. At this last section, it says to us, although we have seen the divine, the high peak of the divine revelation, we need to practice what we have seen. Because we have seen the high peak of the divine revelation, in every age, the revival is due to the vision and the practice of the vision that we have seen. So we, according to the high peak of the divine revelation, we need to apply it to ourselves and live the God-man living. This requires us to live in the mingled spirit and to walk and live by the mingled spirit and have our being according to the spirit. So this is the second series. The burden in the second series. Here it says, the divine spirit mingled with the human spirit, the key to the entire Christian life. We were regenerated to be children of God. So we need to have a living that is also the living of the children of God, which is the God-man living. So we need to ask this question. What is the God-man living? What is the living a Christian should have? God's heart's desire is that the reality that is in Jesus can be duplicated. It can be reproduced in the body, in the members of the body of Christ, to be the reality of the body of Christ. What is the reality as is in Jesus? This refers to the actual condition of the Lord's living as revealed in the four Gospels. He was in God. He was with God and he was for God. In his living, there was God in the midst. And he was one with God. He lived a God-man living. So to be a pattern to us, this pattern is like a mold. So today, as the children of God, as saints, as Christians, we need to see that the only living that satisfies God is a reproduction, a duplication of Christ's God-man living on the earth. His God-man living was his work, his move, and his ministry. His living, his work, his move, and his ministry, all the four of these were not different, were not separate. They were to accomplish God's New Testament move. He didn't do anything out of himself. He didn't do his own work. He didn't speak his own words. He did nothing that was according to his own will. He seeked the Father's glory, not his own glory. As he cared for man, nourished, shepherded man in his service, he never lost heart. He didn't become discouraged because he had the Father as his satisfaction. His work and his living were always one. This living and this work becomes our pattern for our living. So in Ephesians 4, 20, the Apostle Paul says, but you did not so learn Christ. If you indeed have heard him and have been taught in him as the reality is in Jesus. What does it mean to learn Christ? In 1 Peter, it says, you are also called unto this. In that Christ was also suffered on your behalf, leaving you a model so that you may follow in his steps. So 1 Peter 2:21. This does not refer to something outwardly, according to our natural life, according to our human strength and our diligence to imitate him. Today, in us, we have the first God-man. We have the pattern of his living as a mold, a model. After he suffered for us on the cross, he resurrected and became the life-giving spirit. This life-giving spirit, in which is Christ in his resurrection, dispensed himself into us. The ones who believed into his name. And today he is in us as our life. So when we say learn him, learn Christ, to follow in his steps, this is not according to our natural life or our human endurance to imitate him. But according to this life, the life of our Lord within us, that will allow us to be conformed to his image. This is what it means to have heard him and have been taught in him as the reality is in Jesus. For us to live him for the reality of the body of Christ, to fulfill God's desire. In Romans 8:4, it says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This tells us here that as Christians, we have two choices. We can walk according to the flesh, and then we can walk according to the Spirit. There's no middle ground. Either we walk according to the Spirit or we walk according to the flesh. Here, the Spirit here is very hard. It's very hard to differentiate if this is talking about God's Spirit or the regenerated human Spirit. According to the usage of Spirit in the New Testament, This is referring to man's regenerated spirit and also the spirit indwelling our spirit, which is mingled with our spirit. When it says according to the spirit, walk according to the spirit, this can also be translated follow. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Today, our Christian life is entirely a story of the two spirits. If we live and walk according to the Spirit, this can accomplish God's eternal purpose, that the righteous requirement of the laws might be of the law might be fulfilled in us. Here it says, walk according to the Spirit. This means that we need to live, move, have our person, and live our daily living according to the Spirit. Walking according to the Spirit. This walk is also seen in Galatians 5:16. There it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Here, the walk in Galatians 5:16 is also the walk in Romans 8:4, which is referring to treading all around, to walk at large, which means to deport ourselves, move and act in ordinary daily life. And this implies a common, habitual daily walk. When we walk according to the Spirit, this is our living, our move, having being regulated by the Holy Spirit within us. The law of the Spirit of life has been installed in us. When we walk according to the Spirit, this is like turning on and off the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life brings with it a spontaneous, automatic function. Whenever we walk according to the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life within us spontaneously, automatically operates, allowing us to live a life that expresses and magnifies Christ, so that the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here, there are a few excerpts from the ministry. If we can turn to page 36, 37, in the middle, in the excerpts, it says, walking either according to the Spirit or according to the flesh. When we are not walking according to the Spirit in our daily life, we are walking according to the flesh. There's no middle ground. According to Romans 8:4 to 9, anything that is not according to the Spirit is according to the flesh. There are only two sources and two conditions of our living: the Spirit or the flesh. And at the end of page 39, here it tells us in the church life today, what we need, what we're lacking, is a living that is a walk according to the mingled Spirit. It's like, it seems that, like the brothers shared with us before, in our daily living, around 95% of the day, we don't walk according to the Spirit. And in those 5% that we are also not very clear that we are walking according to the Spirit. here it says Romans 8 does not teach that we should try to improve ourselves according to ethics, morality, or religion. Instead, it teaches us that we need to walk according to the mingled spirit. The focus of Romans 8 is walking according to the mingled spirit, which is the practical way to live Christ. Such a living is our need today. The outward results of our work in our church life today, there is a crucial, urgent need. We need to exercise, practice walking according to the Spirit. This is extremely important. On page 36, here it says, needing to walk according to the Spirit in order to live Christ. Recently, based on Romans 8:4, we have seen the matter of walking according to the Spirit, which is the practical way to live Christ. We need to pay our full attention to walking according to the Spirit in order to live Christ. Page 37, this last paragraph. If we can walk according to the Spirit, this kind of living, of living Christ, here it says, number one, our gospel should be the result of our living Christ. If all the saints walk according to the Spirit, there will be a gospel bearing fruit in our living. Here it also says, our shepherding should not be an activity, but it should be the result of our walking according to our Spirit. And then it goes on to say, if we walk according to the Spirit, having this corporate motto, then the church, the locality that we will be in, will be overcoming, full of hope. So we need to walk according to the Spirit in order to live a God-man living. This is by our calling on the Lord. Pray, reading the Word of God, unceasingly praying, not quenching the Spirit, and not despising prophecies. These words to us may be we may have heard this before, but according to our current church life, our current living, this is our urgent need. Not only can we speak, share on these truths, we need to bring in a practical experience and application. In Romans 8:4, it says, if we walk according to the Spirit, the righteous requirement of the law will be fulfilled in us. If we go to Romans 8:11, it says, if the Spirit, the message last night, fellowship, the message told us that the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. He will raise Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who indwells us. And in verse 13, it says, if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. So this will be a living where we live Christ and magnify him. In Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. In 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And in verse 17, it says, and if children, heirs also. When we walk according to the Spirit, we can have a living that is the living of the children, the sons of God. Are we living a living that is simply of a created, of the created, created ones, or are we do we have the living of the children of God? Is our daily living, is it the living of a lion or a turtle? Brothers and sisters, may we walk according to our spirit so that we can have a living that is fitting to be children of God. And this is also seen in Galatians 5 very clearly. And so we'll enter into the outline here. So going to message 3, it talks about the key to our Christian life and walk. So in Galatians 5:24, this first Roman numeral 1, they who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lusts by the Spirit. In point A, it says the crucifixion of the old man in Romans 6:6, and the crucifixion of the I in Galatians 2:20 were not accomplished by us. But in Galatians 5:25, it says that we have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lusts. In Romans 6:6, it says, knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be annulled. So when we come to Galatians 2:20, the apostle says, I am crucified with Christ. This I here refers to the old man. And then Paul continues to say, it is no longer I who live. This indicates that the old I has already been crucified with Christ. When Christ was crucified on the cross, this also included us. This is an accomplished fact. So in small one, it says, the old man and I are our being. The flesh is the expression of our being in our practical living. And then small two, the crucifixion of our old man and the I is a fact accomplished by Christ on the cross. Whereas the crucifying of our flesh with its passions and its lusts is our practical experience of the fact. On one hand, we need to ask the Lord to give us a seeing, to see that we have been crucified with Christ, this reality. But on the other hand, we need to have practical experiences of the fact. Small three, this practical experience must be carried out through the Spirit by our executing of the crucifixion that Christ accomplished. This is to put to death by the Spirit the practices of our lustful body with its evil members. Here, Roman numeral B, it says, there are three aspects of the experience of the cross. We need to see these points. One, the fact accomplished by Christ. Two, our application of the accomplished fact. And three, our experience, our daily experiences of what we have applied by bearing the cross daily. There's a fact, there's an application here, and then there's experience. We need to see this revelation that our old man has been crucified with Christ. Then we need to apply this accomplished fact, and then we need to have the practical experience. So now we come to Roman numeral 2. If we walk by the Spirit, we shall by no means fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Following the outline, the Roman numeral 3, if we live by the Spirit, we should also walk by the Spirit. This is according to Galatians 5:16 and 5:25. Here, I want to emphasize a very important phrasing. In Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live by the Spirit. And then in verse 16, both of these, 16 and 25, both say, walk by the Spirit. 16 says, walk by the Spirit. And then 25, it also says, walk by the Spirit. This walk in the original Greek in 16 and 25 are two different words. In 5:16, the word for walk is peripateo. And in 5:25, this walk is stoikeo. Here, we need to notice, we need to realize that if we walk according to the Spirit, we will have two types of walks. We will have the walk that is peripateo. And so in Roman numeral 2.A, it says the Greek word for walk in Galatians 5:16 means to tread all around, to walk at large. Hence, to deport oneself, move and act in ordinary daily life, implying a common habitual daily walk. This is our ordinary daily life. This is a broad walk. But in Roman numeral 3, point B, this stoikeia walk, the Greek word for walk means to observe the elements, to walk according to the elements, that is to walk in line, to march in military rank, to keep in step, and in derivatively to walk in an orderly and regulated manner. So we need to see first what it means to live by the Spirit. This is different from first, we have living by the Spirit. And this brings in two types of walks. The first one is a free, broad walk for our daily living, our common habitual daily walk. And then the second type of walk is a walk in line. It has a goal. It's to keep in step. So in Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, this if here, it can be translated to since we live by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, this means that we have the Spirit. We were regenerated by the Spirit. We have the indwelling Spirit. And we live and move, walk according to the Spirit. This live includes getting life and then also having our living out of the Spirit. In Romans 4, it says, the righteous shall live out of faith. Shall have righteousness and live by faith. After we have this life, after we've received this life, we need to continue living by this life and walking according to this life. Our receiving of this life is an eternal matter. But life is not a once and for all thing that we can graduate from. Oh, I really wish that there was a medicine that we can just take one pill and we can never have to eat again. On one hand, eating is very enjoyable. When the time comes, we need to eat. Because we can't graduate from life. Life is like our breathing, our eating and drinking. None of these are things that we can graduate from. In Galatians 3, Paul says, foolish Christians, Jesus Christ was openly portrayed crucified before your eyes. In verse 2, it says, this only I wish to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit out of works of law or out of the hearing of faith? The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for us, accomplished redemption for us. He died and was resurrected, and resurrection became the life-giving Spirit. This life-giving Spirit is also the life-imparting Christ living in us. It is out of the hearing of faith that we have received the Spirit. So in Galatians 3:3, it says, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? We need to clearly see our receiving of the Spirit was not by our own diligence to keep the law. In Galatians 3:14, it says, it is through faith that we receive the promise of the Spirit. Through faith, the Spirit was dispensed. It was imparted into us and indwells our spirit. After we were regenerated, like verse 5, Galatians 3:5, it said, he therefore who bountifully supplies to you the Spirit. After we have initially received the Spirit, we need to continually receive the bountiful supply of the Spirit. Like breathing, we breathe in the Spirit, we inhale the Spirit and receive Him. And we need to continue inhaling Him, to continue receiving the bountiful supply of the Spirit. Brother Minoru, he wrote this hymn. Hymn 210 in the hymnal, a Chinese hymnal. Hymn 255 in English. Oh Lord, breathe thy Spirit on me. By our breathing the Lord's name, this is our spiritual breathing, to continually receive the bountiful supply of the Spirit. We need to receive the bountiful supply of the Spirit by calling on the Lord's name and by pray reading the Lord's word. In John 5:57, in John 6:57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he shall live because of me. And then in 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. By our unceasingly pray reading the word, we can continually receive the bountiful supply of the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, after we've received the Spirit, we need to continue inhaling Him, breathing Him in, receiving His bountiful supply. If we live by the Spirit, as it says in Galatians 5:25, then we can also walk by the Spirit. Here, our Christian walk should have both types of walks. On one hand, there is our daily living. And then on the other hand, there's the other walk, which has a clear goal. We may go to school, and as a student, we have our daily living. We eat, we drink, We sleep, we rest. For us, and this is for us to be a student, to study, to fulfill our education needs so that we can graduate for our as a goal in our life. If we are a student, but we don't eat, we don't drink, we don't have a normal, practical daily living, then we can't fulfill the responsibilities of our education. In order to fulfill our responsibilities and graduate, we need to have a normal daily living with graduation as our goal. In the same way, as children of God, as Christians, we need to see our Christian life needs this first type of walk to support our second type of walk. Our daily living should have a proper common living. And this is by walking according to our spirit, to have our being, to deport ourselves and have a proper daily life. But also, as children of God, our living should have a clear goal. Our goal must be to accomplish God's eternal purpose. In 1 Peter, it says that before we were saved, we had a vain manner of life. This is the vain manner of life is our life without God as our goal. Daily, we need to have God's purpose. We need to have our daily living according to the Spirit, but this is for a clear goal to build the body of Christ and to accomplish God's eternal purpose. So in Roman numeral 2, point B, it says, the Spirit in Galatians 5:16 must be the Holy Spirit who dwells in and mingles with our regenerated spirit. In small 1, it says, to walk by the Spirit is to have our walk regulated by the Holy Spirit from within our spirit. This is in contrast to having our walk regulated by the law in the realm of our flesh. In Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, by no means fulfill the law of flesh. In verse 19, it says, and the manifest such things as in verse 22, the number 3. Small 3 under Roman numeral 2, B. Because of Christ's redemption and the Spirit's work of regeneration, we who have received God's dispensing can walk by the Spirit, by the process triune God, instead of by the flesh, by our fallen being. This is extremely important. In our daily living, we need to walk by the Spirit, walk according to the Spirit. so that we can have the fruit of the Spirit, so that we will have a living that expresses and magnifies Christ. And this is the purpose of this, is for the second type of our living, to have a clear and concrete goal. This is in Galatians 5:25. Here, this talks about elements, which we see also in Colossians 2:8, where it says the elements of the world. In the entire New Testament, there are four places that uses this word walk. Of course, one we see in Galatians 5:25, this walk. The second is in Romans 4:12, where it says, the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had in uncircumcision. Here it says, walk in the steps. This is an orderly, clear type of walk. And then the third place where it uses this word, Philippians 3:16. It says, nevertheless, whereunto we have attained, by the same rule, let us walk. Here, when it says the same rule, this talks about the same line, the same path. This points to when the Apostle Paul says, forgetting the things which are behind, stretching forward to the things which are before, I pursue towards the goal for the prize to which God and Christ Jesus has called me upward. The Apostle Paul was on a path, a road on which he was pursuing Christ in order to gain him. And then the last place where it talks about this walk, this orderly walk, is Galatians 6:16. And as many as walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, even upon the Israel of God. This rule is the rule of the new creation. Here in 6:15, for the Apostle Paul says, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation is what matters. What is the rule of the new creation? In the old creation, there was no God in this, in the old creation. But in the new creation has God to be our life and our living. So to have the new creation as our life means to have the triune God as our life and our living. Brothers and sisters, the first type of walk is for the second type of walk. In order for us to reach the goal of God's economy, in order to have the second type of walk, we must be, one, according to the Spirit, and two, according to the rule of the new creation, which means to be according to the divine life and the divine nature. And the three, we need to pursue after Christ and gain him this rule. And then four, what we see in Romans 12:1-2, and Ephesians 4, we need to have to walk within the church life in order to accomplish God's eternal economy. So here, now we come to Roman numeral 3.A. To live by the Spirit is to have our life dependent on and regulated by the Spirit, not by the law. This equals the walk by the Spirit in Galatians 5:16. Point B, the Greek word for walk in Galatians 5:25 means to observe the elements, to walk according to the elements. That is to walk in line, to march in military rank, to keep in step, and derivatively to walk in an orderly and regulated manner. Small one, both the walk in Galatians 5:16 and the walk in verse 25 are by the Spirit and are regulated by the Spirit. The former refers to a general daily walk. The latter to a walk that takes God's unique goal as the direction and purpose of life, and a walk that follows the Spirit as the elementary rule, the basic principle. And then small two, such a walk is cultivated by living in the new creation, by pursuing Christ in order to gain him, and by practicing the church life, thus fulfilling God's intention in Christ for the church. As a Christian, as children of God, we need to have both types of walk. The first type of walk is general, daily walk. We need to have a proper living, daily living, to support our second type of walk, to fulfill God's purpose, God's desire. We would have regulation and order in our walk to fulfill God's desire. These two types of walk will bring in two results. The first type of walk is that we will live Christ, magnify Christ, to have a living as sons of God. And then the second type of living, we walk according to the rule, an orderly walk, which will allow us to be the Israel of God. This is similar to the English, the royalty in England. Not only in order to be royalty, they require special training. In Galatians 3:26, it says, "For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And then when we get to 6:16, it says, "As many walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, even upon the Israel of God." What does them refer to? Them refers to the Israel of God, the princes, the kings. Not only do we want to have a living that expresses, magnifies God as children of God, we need the second type of walk where we can rule and express his authority. This fulfills God's desire for image and dominion. May the Lord strengthen us to have both types of walks. Now we come to Roman numeral 4. We walk, have our being in and according to the Spirit, the mingled Spirit, for the fulfilling of the righteousness of the law. We fellowshipped about this earlier. In A, it says, the word Spirit, as used in this verse, denotes our regenerated human spirit, indwelt by and mingled with the Spirit, who is the consummation of the triune God. Point B, if we walk according to this mingled Spirit, all the righteous requirement of the law will be fulfilled spontaneously. One, there will be no need for us to try to keep the law, for the requirements of the law are fulfilled automatically by the law of the Spirit of life. Two, for this reason, Paul gives us a unique commandment to live, walk, and have our being according to the mingled Spirit. Today, our daily living is not according to the law, and it also shouldn't be according to our own man-made laws. Our daily living should be according to the mingled Spirit. And we should be living according to and walking according to the Spirit. Three, to walk according to the Spirit, mingled Spirit, may be considered the consummate charge in the New Testament. Towards this charge, we need to say amen. As Christians, in our living, the key is these two spirits. We need to live and walk according to the Spirit. Point five, by the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we live Christ and magnify him. A, in our Christian experience, the Spirit of God is now the enriched, compounded, processed, all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1:19, the Apostle Paul says, "For I know that this, for me, this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." By the bountiful supply of the Spirit, although the Apostle Paul was imprisoned in a Roman prison, and he was able to live a life of living Christ and magnifying Christ. In small one, through the marvelous processes that the triune God has gone through, the Spirit of God has been compounding with divinity, humanity, human living, human suffering, crucifixion, resurrection, and the power of resurrection. Small two, today the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the all-inclusive, process, compound, life-giving, indwelling Spirit. In him there is a bountiful supply. Whatever we need, he is. If we need supply, he is supply. If we need peace, he is peace. If we need joy, he is joy. Through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we have the bountiful supply for us to live and magnify him for the building of the body, to reach God's eternal purpose. Point B, the bountiful Spirit of Jesus Christ is for the believers to live Christ and to magnify him. Small one, nothing is as hard as living Christ. In the matter of living Christ, we are not adequate. We are not able and we are not capable. According to our natural life, what we live out, if we live, depend on our natural life, what we live out is the flesh, which we see in Galatians, all of these results of living according to the flesh. Today, we need to live by the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We need to live and magnify him. Small two, to live Christ, we need the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Every day, we must learn to give ourselves to this bountiful supply, trust in this bountiful supply, and rely on this bountiful supply. Every morning, by waking up early, we need to come to the Lord. In order to wake up early, we need to sleep early. One time, there was a brother who came and asked Brother Lee. He asked him one thing. Today, my living today was really bad. What should I do? And the brother said, go home and quickly sleep. And tomorrow, you can have a new beginning. You can wake up early. In order to wake up early, we need to go to sleep early. And the goal, our waking up early, is to come to him in the morning, to love him, to seek him, to pursue after him as his beloved. By exercising our spirit, the best way is to call on his name by prayer, reading the word. Every morning, how do we contact him? We just do these two things. Call on his name. Pray, read the Lord's word. By calling on the Lord's name, pray, reading his word, we exercise our spirit to receive the bountiful supply of the Spirit. This allows us to be revived daily and to overcome day by day so that we can have a living that magnifies Christ. Small three, The bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ sustains us to live Christ. And then Roman numeral 6, we should pray at every time in spirit. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit. The spirit here refers to our regenerated spirit indwelt by the Spirit of God. It may be considered the mingled spirit, the spirit that is our spirit mingled with God's spirit. Point B, in praying, the main faculty that we should use is this spirit. Small one, our spirit is the deepest part of our being. To pray in the spirit or to pray with our spirit is to use our innermost part to contact God. Small two, therefore, we must pray not merely according to the thoughts in our mind, but according to the sense deep within our spirit. The faculty of prayer is not the mind, but the spirit. We need to pray in the innermost part of our being, which is in our spirit. We need to be in the atmosphere of breathing, praying by breathing. In this way, the spirit within us will be able to supply us. I remember there was one time when I was in Taiwan, I was parking, and I was parking in this parking square. And there was a parking meter. And I needed to put in money for a certain amount of time. And someone would come to collect the money. And when I parked, it took a long time. No one came to collect the money. And I just called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. And the Lord just reminded me that I should go and put in some money into the parking meter. The Spirit in us shines on us, operates within us, leading us to live by the Spirit, walk according to the Spirit, so that we can have a living, that we have the living fit for the children of God, not just the living of a created being. May the Lord gain us to have a daily living where we live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, to be sons of God, to live God and to express Him so that we can become the Israel of God, to be His kings, to rule and reign with Him. Amen.